Please be seated. How do we read parables? Parables evoke earthly images we can see to help communicate heavenly meanings that we cannot see. Put simply, a parable is a short story that conveys a great truth. They aren't meant to be taken literally. We might all connect with the parable at different levels. So I wonder, how do you connect with the parable in our gospel reading this morning? Luke's gospel depicts an age-old story of economic disparity between an unnamed rich man and a beggar named Lazarus. This, for many of us, is uncomfortable reading. As I prepared this talk on Friday, the news headlines began coming through. Chancellor set to unveil tax cuts in mini-budget. Biggest tax cuts for 50 years. Tax cut bonanza in bid to stop the economic rot. Go for growth. Economy in recession. A budget for the rich as the pound plunges. Who are the rich and poor in our society? With many facing relative economic hardship, this seems a timely point to reflect on today's parable. Hardly a month goes by without some mention of the growing gaps in our society. There may be disagreements about the causes, the consequences, and solutions of radical inequality, but the reality of it is undeniable. Gross inequality threatens the very nature of civil society, our politics, healthcare, education, housing, employment, and even our legal system. Research shows that if you're born poor, you're more prone to infection, impairing your schooling, reducing your job prospects, therefore shrinking your income for healthy food and shelter, increasing the risk of disease and premature death. The World Bank says absolute poverty is a condition of life so limiting as to prevent realization of the potential of the genes with which one is born. A condition of life so degrading as to insult human dignity, and yet a condition of life so common as to be the lot of some 40% of the peoples of the developing countries. How do you feel this morning, rich or poor? Where is your anxiety this morning, especially with regards to the rise of the cost of living? How should we respond to the poor? Jesus uses wealth in our parable as a measure of our spiritual health. The rich man does not learn from his self-centeredness. Even in the abyss, he is wanting to alleviate his own suffering, not recognizing his own responsibility in how he has lived his life, seeking to warn his brothers. There would appear to be no repentance in him for how he treated Lazarus. Now, following Napoleon's defeat at Washington, the French ruling classes attempted to restore pre-revolution society and was described as they learnt nothing and they forgot nothing. They learnt nothing and they forgot nothing. This seems close in my mind to Einstein's famous definition of insanity as doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different outcome. Ironically, the name Lazarus means God's help. Where does our help come from? our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Jesus warns us that our time is short. Our opportunities to serve the poor don't last forever. Our economic choices shape our deepest identities and our eternal destinies. Jesus sees deep into our souls and loves us. He loves us so much that he calls us to follow him day by day. So as we follow him, he leads and guides us and shows us how to live. With Christ at the center of our lives, he shows us how to live. He calls us to enable the poor and to release them into all that they are called to be, into a life in all its fullness. Chris's walk for water during August did exactly this. Families that are desperately poor, living in makeshift homes with little amenities, will now have a well in their village. Chris and his sponsors will probably never set eyes on that well in a remote area of the Punjab. Only in heaven, says Mother Teresa, will we understand how much we owe the poor for helping us to love God like we should. Jesus liberates our souls in a way that nothing else can. So as we journey towards our harvest festival, in this week that is Generosity Week, let us give thanks to God for all of his blessings to us. Let us consider how we will respond to those who are hungry and in need in our community. Let us not be a people that learn nothing and forget nothing, but rather be a people that learn a lot and forget nothing. I ask that if you only remember one thing from our time together this morning, let it to be to write on this week's shopping list, Harvest Festival, so that next weekend, this place will be overflowing with compassion for others and for our love for God. Amen.